CliffCentral.com.
I'm pretty sure I heard Ariana Grande going. Is that what she said? I think that's what she said.
It was probably in those moments where they do those acrobatics with the voice.
Like sometimes I don't know what she's talking about. Like, it doesn't even sound like she's speaking a language, let alone English.
No, sometimes they're really not using words. They're just producing a sound.
The part when I say... Right? Ariana Grande. If she wasn't so good looking, she'd never be such a success.
Oh, Abato.
Come on, she's not that great a singer.
What?
She's not.
She's not.
No.
Terrible.
She's not terrible, but I mean.
But I mean, you know, by these days' standards, anybody can be turned into a star. You just need the right synthesizer and the right producer.
Probably. Do you want to go to Inati, who's on the line? Yeah. Hey, Inati, what's up?
Hi, Karan.
Yeah, what's up, man?
I'm good, man. How's it?
Lovely. No complaints.
I actually do have a complaint.
Oh, you have one?
Oh, I have a complaint, yes.
Okay, go on. Talk to me.
The show, O'Neill and De Niro.
Yes.
You know, that show is so great, but there are no podcasts.
No, because it's a live show. We can't be giving you a podcast with a whole lot of music in it. And if you think about it, we can't cut out the music because you'll be left with like a 15-20-minute show.
No, but then there are great conversations in there. And they normally have some great guests there. Then
they do?
Don't you listen to them?
I do listen to them, and that's the whole point, is you have to listen live.
Ah, come on. I would also like to listen when I'm back home, because sometimes those guys are really funny.
No, I agree, but this is the whole point with the differences between Touch Central and Cliff Central, is that on cliffcentral.com, everything is podcast because it's mostly talk. On Touch Central, it's a music radio station. So what we do is we play a lot more music, and you can't put that into podcasts. So there's no point in podcasting that.
But I think you guys can shoot back a plane. Come on. Some of us would like to
see,
listen to a podcast.
I reckon you've just been totally spoiled. Now you want everything.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, you see. Give them your little finger, they take your whole hand.
Come on, Carol. I mean, think about it. Those guys, they talk about great stuff. And I think it's... You should have them on podcast.
So listen live. I need you to listen live. We need to up those numbers. All right?
Hi, Matt.
Hello.
How are you doing, Matt?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Hello.
Bad voice. Have a good day.
You too.
Have a good day, guys.
Cheers, buddy. Bye-bye. Bye. There's Inati. Just wants more and more and more. Every time I do something for Inati, he wants more.
You know, once
very demanding.
Once you gave the taste of the podcast, you got them hooked.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's get into some of the stories in the news. There's a lot going on. Just to remind you, on Thursday we will have Jessica Drake, the 11th Trump accuser and a famous porn star, on the show. She'll be here in studio with us, and she'll tell us about the time Donald Trump hit on her and offered her $10,000 to sleep with him, and she turned him down. The future president of the United States, if some are to be believed. And some people say, you know, Donald's, it's all lies, all this stuff that's been said about him, just being a predator, that it's all lies and it's all made up by the Hillary camp. But here we have Jessica Drake, a porn star, who says, no, she was actually hit on by Donald Trump, offered a lot of money to go and sleep with him. So she'll be our guest on Thursday. You don't want to miss that. That's a big story that could go international. Go ahead, Mums. What's in the news?
Okay. What do you do when you either drive past or witness a clear drunk driver on the road who is potentially a hazard to other road users?
Oi. What do I do?
What do you do?
I try to avoid him and get the hell out of the way.
I think most of us would answer that question that way, right? Because you want to be as far away from the danger as possible.
Right.
But if you are Zane Small from Cape Town, what you do is you act as a hero and you physically stop the drunken motorist from swerving into oncoming traffic.
Really?
Because that's exactly what happened yesterday in Cape Town on the N1. The truck driver's name is Zane Small. He has been lauded as a hero after he stopped a drunken motorist, essentially from wreaking or causing havoc on the roads.
Good for him.
Had it not been for Zane Small trying to get in front of a silver Jaguar that had a drunk driver in it,
mm-hmm.
Things could have gotten a whole lot worse. He was flashing his bright lights to warn other road users. The errant driver is in his early 70s. He was traveling at a speed of around 70 kilometers an hour in the fast lane, number one. He was in oncoming traffic, number two.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And miraculously, the drama played out on the highway for around 6 kilometers, but without a single accident. And traffic officials said that after they breathalyzed the 70-year-old man, they discovered that he was three times over the legal drinking limit.
What time of day was this?
I don't know what time of day it was. Okay, no, hang on. They give the time here. It was late at night. City officials said that they got a call at around 11:15 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
about a flashy vehicle that was basically, you know, driving in oncoming traffic. It was in the fast lane. It was only going at 70 kilometers per hour, and it was causing a threat to other road users. And this truck driver who happened to be on the road, you know, decided to do something about it. At first, I did not realize that the truck was trying to stop the Jaguar, but footage that was captured featured a number of hair-raising moments when vehicles were narrowly missing the 70-year-old. Gee. They were swerving out of his way. And it's 11 p.m. at night, so, you know, your vision
what
is...
What would you do?
No, I would do the same as you. I would try to get away from the danger.
Just get away.
As quickly as possible.
You don't want anything to do with this dude. Right?
Yeah, but this
get out of there.
This truck driver for 6 kilometers decided, I have to find a way to get this guy off the road, otherwise bad things are really going to happen. Smith said that, or rather Small, this truck driver, had put his life in danger. At one point, he managed to get in front of the vehicle, and he forced it to stop. He said, I tried to get him to open his windows, but the 70-year-old drunk driver refused to pay attention to him, and he just kept on going. During the cat and mouse pursuit, the Jaguar eventually blew a tire and later hit a barrier. Oh my goodness.
This guy could have killed people, man.
Yes, he definitely could have killed people.
I always say that if you think you don't matter, all you have to do is take a little bit of time to stop your car dead on the highway. You watch how much you matter. Suddenly, hundreds of thousands of people are put out by your actions. It's incredible how much you matter. If you don't believe me, try it. Well, please don't, actually. On second thoughts, don't try it. It would really mess up a lot of people's day. Right?
Yeah. The drunk driver was charged with reckless and negligent driving, driving while intoxicated, and possession of an unlicensed firearm.
Well, I hope they don't let him drive again. This guy doesn't sound like you need him on the road. Have you ever seen oncoming... Like, I once was driving on a highway, and it was quite late at night, and there was a guy who... was coming down the opposite side in the same direction as me. Luckily, I was on this side, right?
Mm.
And I was heading in the right direction.
Mm.
In other words, I was on the right side of the highway.
Yeah.
This guy was going in the same direction as me, but on the wrong side of the highway. And I just thought, uh-oh, this is definitely going to end badly.
Yeah.
How did he get on there in the first place? And second of all, how drunk must he have been?
Yeah, that is the question, is how drunk are you in that moment to get onto the opposite direction of the traffic flow?
No, it's very scary. Like, there's a lot of craziness going on in the world.
I was pushed off the road by a bus once, It was two-way traffic.
Yeah?
I was overtaking the bus in the right-hand lane. But I don't think that the bus driver saw my car because, you know, it's a little smaller nyana's kaftini nyana of a car. So he then started to swerve into the lane as I was overtaking him.
Huh?
So I was pushed out of that lane and into oncoming traffic. But luckily for me, there weren't any oncoming vehicles. Because the guy just didn't see me.
Yo. You've got to be so careful. I tell you what. If you look at the statistics... Your chances of being murdered, your chances of being attacked and assaulted, your chances of being attacked by wild animals, your chances of dying in a plane crash, all of that is nothing compared to the danger of being on the road. It is the single most dangerous thing you do every single day. By a long way. There's just nothing that even comes close. Right?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the biggest risk. I mean, you get into your car every day of your life, right? Well, yes. some of us. So every time you get into your car, uh-huh. that is potential for something to go horribly wrong. And it doesn't even have to be caused by you.
No.
You know, we're about to head into the dreaded festive season where traffic officials, I'm sure, just hate this part of the year that we're heading into because, I don't know, that's just when people do dumb stuff on the roads.
They do dumb stuff. That's exactly right. And listen, I'm not the best driver in the world. I've had accidents, so I'm in no position to be moral or judgmental about this. But it's just terrifying. Like, once you're behind the wheels of a, behind the steering wheel of a car, how much can go wrong? And sometimes it's not you at all. You're minding your own business, getting on with it. And some idiot will come at you like Mubs when she was almost pushed up the road. Anyway, Lynn says, Jessica Drake is a strumpet of note. Yeah, well, she's a porn star, but I mean, doesn't mean you shouldn't believe her. Don't be judgmental, Lynn.
Yeah.
What does Lynn do for a living again? I don't know. Lynn is an auditor. I've heard horrible things about auditors, Lynn. You get my drift? Ashley says, are you mad? I'm not a huge Ariana fan, but she's without a doubt one of the most talented vocalists around today. She's unbelievable. Just listen to her doing those impersonations on Jimmy Fallon. Pashida says no. Pashida's with me. Hey, Pashida.
Hi.
Come over here to the microphone.
No.
You also don't, you're not a big Ariana Grande fan?
No. Yeah. No, see? She's a rich kid who's got daddy and mommy's money, and she just makes albums.
Yeah, because she has nothing else to do.
Exactly. I mean, I have not seen her vocal prowess. Like, where has she been vocal?
See? Where?
Seriously, this lady needs to check her facts.
Jojo, I think that is the first time I've heard Pashida be critical of something ever in my life.
And so strident about it. She's like, yeah, get out of here, Ariana Grande. All right, everybody. What else is happening, Mubs?
All right, let's do a quick roundup of human beings yet again letting us down as a species from around the world. We'll begin right here at home, more specifically in Katlehong, where two cousins have been accused of killing three of their relatives, Gareth, including a seventh-month-old baby after leaving the baby in a bathtub filled with hot water. The two pleaded guilty of all charges that they were facing in court yesterday in Katlehong. Their two cousins, aged 17 and 21, who appeared in court yesterday. They pleaded guilty to three counts of murder, attempted murder, and robbery with aggravating circumstances.
So these are really nice people.
These are people who have serious problems in their lives or just, you know, have a complete disregard of human life. So that's at home. And then over in the UK, there is a British banker by the name of Rurik Jutting. He has been accused of murdering two Indonesian women in his upscale Hong Kong apartment. But not only that, he filmed the entire attack on his iPhone.
He killed them and then he filmed it like a snuff film?
Yeah, he captured the whole thing. He's 31 years old. He had earlier on Monday pleaded not guilty to two counts of murder and on the grounds of diminished responsibility. But the court has since found that no, this person is in a perfect condition to stand trial. I think that he was trying to pull one of those, you know, I need to be evaluated mentally kind of situations.
Well, did you have to kill everybody first?
It's just bizarre. He is a former securities trader at Bank of America Merrill Lynch. He's facing two counts of murder. The killings took place in his apartment in Hong Kong. He was deemed fit to stand trial following psychiatric tests, and he's being held at a maximum security prison in the UK.
Wow. Again, we were talking about this yesterday when we talked about these couples and where they get into romantic or financial or marital difficulty and they decide to kill each other or to hire someone to kill each other rather than just getting a divorce. Just say, look, I've changed my mind, prostitute, go home. Or I don't need to kill you. I'm really angry. Just give me something like a pillow and let's have a pillow fight. Why these people have to kill each other, I do not know. Humans, like Mabali says, we should have a permanent space on the show for where humans do dumb stuff and why we should avoid each other. Man, he killed these two in an apartment and filmed the whole thing. How did he think that was gonna go?
I don't know what he was thinking throughout that entire thing.
Maybe he is totally mental. He must be, right? There's no way to behave. Flax, what's going on?
What's going on with what?
No, no, you tell me. You always get stories and things.
Well, biggest story was this whole Justin Bieber thing. I mean, EWN was reporting on it as, like, breaking
they
story
were?
Yesterday. The fact that he's he walked off stage.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and he's demanding the same respect that Adele gets at her concerts, that no one speaks while he's singing and no one speaks while he's talking.
I need to know why he's doing this. Like, do you think he's just trying to cause some noise and make some trouble? Because this is very weird behavior. I mean, like, people come to your concert, you don't tell them how to behave.
I feel like he's trying to take his concert experience to the next level. You know where, like, you'll go to a John Mayer concert and everyone's dead silent.
Yeah.
And you just hear John and he's sitting down with his guitar and it just pierces your ears.
Right.
I think he wants that sort of impactful concert experience where... But that's not his style. His style's young, crazy, jumping, screaming.
And his fans are very vocal people. They make a noise. It's part of what they do.
Otherwise, he must do a seated concert like John Mayer. John Mayer does seated concerts. He doesn't do screaming, jumping and that.
Well, I think Bieber has forgotten who his fans are.
Do you have that audio from yesterday?
Just send it to me again. I can't seem to open it up here on this link. Just try for me again. You sent the link to me, but I for some reason there's something wrong with it. I'll try and play it just now. It's so strange that this guy, he's grown up making music for teenage girls, which means that you're pretty much going to accept that they're going to make a noise. And they make that very high-pitched noise that almost shatters glass. But it's part of... I reckon for him, he must have tuned out of it by now. He doesn't even hear it. So I don't know why it's suddenly bothering him. It seems like a stunt. I hate to say it.
How old is Justin Bieber again?
How old is he now?
He must be about 20, 21.
All right, so I mean, he's still young.
And yeah. We can't say he's having a breakdown or midlife crisis or anything like that.
No.
I think he's just being a bit of a prima donna.
Prima donna.
And he wants, like, you know how Kanye West is constantly changing the flow and the feel of his concerts?
Right.
I think Justin feels the same. He wants to be a change agent.
All right, here it is. Listen.
You know, why you guys came tonight, I hope it was to enjoy my company as well as me enjoying your company. But I feel like I want to connect with you, you know? I think my point of the no screaming thing is so that when I'm looking at you in the eyes, you can actually know that we're having a moment and having a connection, right? So it's not me trying to be an asshole. It's simply me wanting to have a moment and, like...
It's like he's lecturing them.
You guys are awesome. I appreciate you. But, like, then there has to be all these people. I just... I'm just going to quit talking, all right? I'm just not going to talk for the rest of the night. We're just going to do the music and keep it pushing because obviously Manchester just can't handle it. So let's do the music.
All right, so he's look, I suppose also, you know, he takes himself seriously as an artist, so he wants people to appreciate his music, and then they arrive there and all they do is make a noise. Like, I've seen this on Idols before. It's very strange to me. Like, the people in the audience sometimes, they think the camera's on them. So they're making a noise and they're jumping up and down and they're screaming and they're singing out loud and they're not listening to anything. So you have to ask yourself, like, what are they really there for? Because they could have done that at home.
Don't they get carried away in the euphoria of it all?
Yeah, I suppose. But, I mean, hell, you came to a concert. You may as well listen.
Yeah, and you don't want to hear the performer start complaining and air out their frustrations. That's all for, like, closed doors.
It's no fun at all.
Maybe put out a tweet about that. Don't waste my time at your concert.
Listen to this quickly. This is Taylor Swift doing This Is What You Came For at her concert, which, of course, is the Rihanna and Calvin Harris song. So she just sits down at the piano and starts playing it. It's very cool, actually. Even at this concert, you could hear people talking the whole time, right? It's just crazy.
It's disgusting how people speak.
It's disgusting. But I have noticed this. At any event, people aren't really there for the event. They're there for themselves. They're going to drink. They're going to eat. They're going to talk to each other. They're going to go for a shit. They're going to do whatever they want to do. And the concert's just the place it's happening.
You're there for the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. These artists have got to realize they're not the real reason we're there. What do you think of this?
Well, it's a very difficult song to do live, isn't it?
Very, very hard. I'd love this, though. Lightning. All right, enough. Taylor Swift.
I feel like there's more to it than her just performing the song.
What do you mean?
I feel like there's a backstory that no one knows about.
You always thought that she was in that song.
Yeah, I knew she was in that song. And then the news broke and then everyone believed me. But think about it. She's never done this before. Why would she now just perform the song out of the blue at a concert? I think somebody pissed her off through a text message or something like that.
I think you're reading a conspiracy theory into nothing.
No, I think this is a big F you to somebody.
I don't know, Flex. I think artists sometimes do covers of songs that they like, and this is a very hot song at the moment.
Let's give it 2 or 3 days, and breaking news, Calvin Harris dating somebody else and Taylor pissed.
Oy vey. All right. Because they meant to be together, right?
No, they broke up.
I mean, they were together. Yeah, they were together.
They broke up, and then she revealed that she actually co-wrote the song. And
yeah. Well, then she's allowed to perform the song, so I don't think it's suspicious.
At the same time she's allowed to perform it, she's allowed to stop him from ever performing it.
Sure.
So if he ever pisses her off to that extent, she's stopping him from ever playing this number one hit.
I don't know. Do you think she can do that?
Who did it? Who was that girl that if anyone dates her, they write a hit single? Ed Sheeran dated her. It's not Sia. I've gone blank on the name.
I know that when Taylor Swift dates you, she ends up writing a song about you. That's how that works. All right, when we come back, we'll get into some more of the stuff that's going on today. We've got an interesting guest popping in later on. She's Miss Cultural South Africa. Now, I know that sounds really lame and ridiculous, but this girl, Thembelihle Mpofu, is 17 years old, and she knows everything about Swati tradition. Everything. She'll tell us all about it. So it's actually going to be a bit of a learning experience for us, I think, about one of the very, very bright, bold, exciting cultures in South Africa, one of the kind of national identities that makes us who we are. And yes, of course, there's Swaziland, but it's a very South African part of the population as well. You know, there's a huge Swati population inside of South Africa. And I think that there are a lot of things that we could probably learn from her. So, the Indoni Miss Cultural SA 2016. And we'll talk to Thembelihle Mpofu later on about that. Very, very interesting stuff. All right. Playing to Lose, Le Maître, featuring Stenage. Roscoe says, when you go to a concert, old people seem to do it best. They go to Engelbert Humperdinck concerts and everyone gets seated 15 minutes before the show starts and then they quietly sing to themselves the whole way through the concert. Yeah. Old people are the best behaved at concerts. That's according to Roscoe this morning. All right, we'll take your calls, your messages to screen on the Touch Central app, WeChat if you're on Cliff Central, and you can also tweet us. Anything you want to talk about this morning, it's all up to you. Flax, we still got to play that music quiz at some point between O'Neill and Kat. She says Kat reckons that she could take on O'Neill and she could win. I think O'Neill knows way more about music than Kat.
Yeah.
Kat's not bad. Don't get me wrong. Kat's very, very good. She's got a good handle on music. There's very seldom a song that comes on that she goes, I've never heard this before.
Nah, my money's on Kat. My money's on Kat.
You reckon?
Remember that game we played where you play 3 seconds of the song and she knows that she can name the artist, everything?
Yeah, but O'Neill, he's got a lot of experience.
I think he knows more of like maybe 2013 to current. Kat knows like 1970s music and stuff like that.
Hmm.
But why would you think that O'Neill wouldn't know old school stuff?
O'Neill's older than Kat for a start.
And his, you know, he's a DJ as well, isn't
he? Yeah, he's been DJing for years.
He's got some background in music.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've never witnessed him listen.
Notice I didn't put you up against him or you up against him.
Yeah, no, I have no music background whatsoever. But I've listened to him listening to music, like creating playlists or even like just chilling.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard olden day songs.
No, you haven't been paying attention.
But it's also because he's DJing now at clubs. You don't want to play something from the 60s and 70s in a club now. Very rare that you're going to find something good. Oh, I got to tell you, we're going to do... You know what, the holiday's coming up.
Yeah.
We're playing with ideas because there are going to be a couple of people who go away at different times, so we need to find different people to stand in for them. So we're going to get Tanya, who's on our sales team.
Mm.
She hates this idea, but I'm convinced it'll work, to do the Tons Show. Do you want to hear how it's going to go?
What is the Tons Show?
It's going to be a show that Tanya does. She's going to go, hold it, welcome to the Tons Show. Today, let's take some calls. Okay, hi, this is Tons, go ahead.
Technical.
What's going on with this?
Technical problems.
What's going on here?
Happens every day.
Seriously, Hi, Tons, this is Sarah.
Oh, how's it, Sarah? How are you?
I'm all right, thanks, Tons. We love your show.
Oh, thanks very much. What a boring call. All right, let's go to a song. This is the Tons Show. Let's go to Babes Wadumo.
Tons knows
with Mum Pincha. And it's Wololo. Can you imagine? Don't you think it would be fun? Get different people around the office to do the show. Flax, what do you reckon?
I don't know.
You're not sure it'll work?
Hash this out in a team meeting. But so far, my vote's no.
Oh, okay. I thought it would be quite fun. All right, Mubs, what else do we need to know today? I mean, there's got to be a whole bunch of stuff that we haven't covered yet. We seldom have time to do these things, so let's get into it.
Yeah, okay. Well, it is 7:30, so it's time for headlines anyway.
Look at that. It's time for the headlines.
Yeah. So, the University of, the Cape Peninsula University of Technology.
Yes, Joel. CPUT.
Okay, so they're investigating more arson attacks, which are linked to student protests.
That sounds like it's the worst one of all the universities to be at the moment. It's like they've shut it down, but there's still violence on campus.
Yeah, so this is after some vehicles were petrol bombed on campus yesterday. A number of vehicles were set alight. And police have now advised firefighters and other emergency personnel not to even enter the Belleville campus. This is now the lower campus at the Cape Peninsula University of Technology.
Do these people know how expensive fuel is? Petrol bombing things?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm assuming that they paid for the petrol, so they know how expensive it is.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So they enter, you know, they're discouraging firefighters and security personnel and all other authorities from entering the campus due to the student volatility. And then, you know, you have on at least one occasion accused big business in South Africa of being cowards when it comes to their lack of participation when it comes to politics in this country.
Yeah, they're usually careful and scared and like they don't want to upset and rock the boat. And, you know, I understand you want to do business.
Okay, so you decide how you feel about their latest move yesterday when 81 CEOs publicly backed the finance minister, Pravin Gordhan, ahead of his budget speech tomorrow. Although the CEOs said that they're not entering in the realm of politics, they merely, you know, want to send the message that they are against politically motivated prosecutions. And they say that they're defending their ability to promote economic growth. Because you see, if if meat is too costly at Pick and Pay, for example, and I stop buying it because I can't afford it, then, you know, the CEO of Pick and Pay takes a genuine issue with that. He's not making the money that he needs.
Yeah.
So there's a list of 81 CEOs from big business in South Africa that I have all, I don't know, either signed some or other kind of declaration saying, yay, finance minister, we are in support of you. I don't know what that's supposed to do, well, to be honest.
It shows you that business is at least united behind Praveen on this one.
Okay.
They're basically raising the middle finger to the president, showing that there is, you know, widespread support for the finance minister, and that if they're going to put all their eggs in any basket, it's going to be his. And the business community do have influence. You know, when they decide to stand up for something, it really does carry a lot of weight. So I think this is probably a good thing. Well done to these CEOs who finally found the balls to stand up for themselves and for their businesses, because the economy is not doing wonderful things right now. You know, it's not growing at the rate that we need it to grow at. Ordinary people are suffering. Things are very expensive.
Things are very expensive.
Right, and this is a way for them to say, listen, stop messing us around. We're trying to get stuff done.
So these CEOs include Woolworths Holdings, yeah. Woolworths Group South Africa,
yeah.
Weber Wenzel.
Uh-huh. And that's just W.
Telkom SA, Sun International, Standard Bank Group, SPA, Sibanye Gold, Sanlam, RMB, who else are here? Pick and Pay, I mentioned them.
Good for them.
Old Mutual, Nedbank.
Right.
Nando's, all these people, 81 of them, backing the finance minister ahead of his budget speech tomorrow. And then it was another day in court for Ramesh Patel yesterday. So
who's he again?
He is accused of murdering his wife, Fatima Patel, in 2015 because, you know, sadly, a reflection of the current state of events in our country, you've got the Jade Panayotu case happening in Port Elizabeth, and then you've also got this case happening in Port Elizabeth. The common denominator in both these cases is that the husbands are accused of murdering their wives. So Fatima Patel was bludgeoned and strangled to death in their home last year, but her husband claimed that she was killed by burglars. Now, the trial has entered its second week, with several witnesses being called to testify yesterday. One of those was investigating officer Lisiba Ramaru yesterday, who said that, you know, when they arrived on the scene, they discovered that Ramesh had taken off his clothes, the clothes that he was wearing, and had hidden them. Now, Ramesh says that he did that because when he discovered his wife's bloody body, he held her, and then just before the police arrived, he decided, okay, well, the police can't find me looking like this, so I'm going to take these clothes off, these bloody clothes off, and I'm going to hide them.
Oh, bad move.
Well, it's a little bit suspect, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then earlier, a domestic worker who is employed by the couple's neighbor had testified that she had seen a man wearing blue tracksuit pants walking up and down. Walking up and down the corridor of their complex before she heard a gunshot. So Ramesh, accused of bludgeoning and strangling his wife to death, he says no, you know, some robbers came into their home, killed her, and then disappeared.
Do we believe him?
Well, it's very difficult to believe these days, isn't it? Because we have so many incidents of cases where family members are accused of, you know, killing somebody that they love.
Yeah,
we've still got the Henry van Breda trial going.
Right.
We've got Christopher Panayotu in PE. We had, you know, Oscar Pistorius a few years ago. I mean, it's very difficult these days not to look at spouses and other family members and go, okay.
I just really wish people, listen, guys, can we stop killing each other, please? It would be really nice if we could stop doing that. That would be so cool. To just stop killing your wives or husbands. We've said so many times, just tell them that you're getting a divorce. We don't need to be killing each other. By the way, someone wrote in with an idea of how you get an assassin if you need one. You want to hear about this?
Yeah, okay. We're all finding out together, so, you know, I can't be accused of anything on my own.
Apparently what you need to do is you get on what's called the dark web.
Oh yeah, I've heard of this dark web.
The dark web, and then you'd be amazed at what you can find there. How do you even get on the dark web? Somebody somewhere needs to tell me how to do this. Flex, do you know how to?
So to get onto the dark web, you actually got to sort of hack the internet, and then you get behind the internet.
How?
I've just seen it in movies being done. It's like the internet, but then you have the underground internet.
And they say it's like 20 times the size of the internet.
It's apparently you can buy anything. You can buy grenades. You can buy rocket launchers.
Jeez.
It's a completely new world that only hackers know.
Wow. Doesn't sound very kosher.
No, it's not at all.
So is that where you find all the really bad stuff? Like, obviously, clearly, if you can find a murderer over there, then you can find pretty much anything, right?
You see, I think there's so much encryption in what's it called, the dark web, that nothing's traceable. So you can do whatever you want with no restrictions and no one can trace it. And your only entry key is that you have to be some amazing hacker and know how to enter it.
Yeah, but if it's only hackers on there, then how come it's so much bigger than the actual internet?
Because probably Russian billionaires are paying hackers to go buy them stuff.
But now you're just, you're making that up, right?
The story evolves.
Yeah. Well, I don't know this dark web. If anybody knows what this means and how you get into that and what you could find on there, I'd love to know. Like, is it www.something? Is www.darkweb.co.za?
I don't think it would be as simple as that.
Murderers are us on the dark web. How do you even begin to look stuff up on the dark web? This is a mystery to me.
See, I just picture it like Google. But wherever there's white, there's now black, and Google looks like some gothic thing, and then you just start searching.
The dark web. Well, if you know, then call us and tell us, please. We're very confused by all of this. Congratulate me, now congratulate me, now congratulate me. A.K.A. with congratulate. What was before that? I can't even remember now. Well, doesn't matter. It's 7:45.
Just like that.
Touch Central, Cliff Central. We just had to get some things sorted out here. But I have to talk to Flax about the GQ Best Dressed Awards just now.
Oh.
We can get into that in a second. And Katlehomo Aduba was there as well. All right, Jared. Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, how's it going?
Cool. Can you tell me about this dark web and what it is and how it works?
Okay, so the dark web isn't only used for nefarious things as everyone thinks it is. What it is, it started off as an add-on for Firefox for people to be able to use the dark web, which is actually mostly sort of information that hasn't been listed. It's sort of like information that isn't filed correctly on the internet.
Yeah.
And a lot of that cannot be listed or searched with Google. So that is actually classified as dark web because Google won't be able to find it because it's not listed in one of Google's sort of search engine priority.
So then what's the point? What's the point of it if you can't find it?
You use that add-on that Firefox has called Tor, which you're able to go onto websites. A lot of people use it for everyday use, for the emails, for everything like that. The only reason why they use that, though, is because it's a lot harder for, say, if the American government is spying on people, for them to actually track their whereabouts and what they've been doing. Now, obviously, there is a website on the dark web called the Silk Road that has been a part of human trafficking and assassinations and drug deals and everything on the internet. Right. The person that started Silk Road actually has been arrested, but I mean, like a lot of those things, you can't really just kill the cause that these people want to have. So there's a new Silk Road 2 that's come out. And a lot of the time the FBI or even some people, you call them legal hackers.
It sounds to me like it sounds to me like this is a nefarious place. It does sound to me like the dark web is just full of people who want to hide really dodgy dealings.
It could be, but the thing is, like, dark web in its essence is just information that's not listed by search engines. I mean, if you make a silly little website and you forget about it, in the long run, it's not listed anymore, and that goes into the dark web. So the dark web is actually a huge place full of misfiled information, mostly. And then you also get the nefarious things on the other side of it as well.
So what you're telling me is like the light web is just Google.
Well, Google is basically 1.5% of the information that you get, which is actually a huge amount, is sort of websites that are listed, websites that have got adverts that they want to send out. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it is like, say, a 17-year-old kid made this silly website 10 years ago and they forgot about it. But that domain is still up. Now, that gets put into the dark web, which is just basically, you can't search for it because of no use.
Well, I don't see the point of it then. I think we should just shut it down.
The problem is you can't shut it down because it is the internet.
Yeah, well, all right.
But, I mean, hang on. Have you ventured into these dark, creepy streets of the dark web? And what were you doing?
No, I haven't been there.
Oh.
I just listened to a really awesome podcast called Stuff You Should Know.
Okay.
And they explained the dark web.
All right. All right, dude. Thank you. It's always good to learn these things.
It's a pleasure. Have a good day, buddy.
Thanks, Jared. Cool. See, we got smart listeners. They know these things.
See, I'd like to go somewhere in this dark web and see it for myself.
Fit right in there.
No, I wouldn't.
No, yes, you would.
I just want to see the kind of things that exist there.
Anonymous is on the line, Mubs, from the dark web. Hello, Anonymous. Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning. Morning, guys.
What's happening in the dark web?
Okay, so first off, there's a difference between, look at it as an iceberg. So you've got the point sticking out with 99% of all the information sitting below this pinnacle of the iceberg. That's called the deep web. So 99% of all information gets basically stored in the deep web. Then you've got the dark web. Now, mm-hmm. in order to access that, you need to, one of two things. One is called either a store or it's an onion. Now, basically what happens is everything that is not public for public viewing would be in the dark web. Information about companies and Tor was actually created by the U.S. Navy to keep their secrets and all their sort of stuff. But Onion, if you go to your app store, you can download Onion, and it is exactly what it says. So basically, what will happen is if you search for anything on the dark web, Onion, it's like peeling back an onion, so the information or your search will jump all over the country through various servers and then only get fed back to you. So it's a little bit slower than the normal internet because it's jumping around through servers, and it's purely there to give you a little bit more privacy with whatever you're doing. Now, surely you can use that, you know, in a legal way to get whatever you need, but if you are scared about, you know, if you're one of these crazy guys that's scared about people checking you, looking at you, you know, through various ways, then that's why the guys would use Onion or Tor just for that purpose.
So it's a browser, in other words, it hides you.
It hides you. That's basically what it is. Yes.
Sounds dodgy, dude.
It is dodgy. I mean, you know,
you've been on the dark web?
No.
Tell the truth.
No, I have not. When I heard about it first, I went to go and have a look at this onion thing. And basically, you know, instead of clicking on your normal internet icon, you click on onion.
Yeah.
It opens up and it gives you a space like a Google search where you can type in whatever you're searching for.
Yeah.
And then onion will take you through that process.
Mubs has already downloaded onion.
You know,
she's on her way.
I must just say, you sounded very nervous there for a second when you were, you know, denying that you've been on the dark web when Gareth was questioning you.
I was making a turn. I'm busy driving with my cell phone in my hand.
Oh, dear.
not too happy with that.
Alright, dude.
Anyway,
okay. Drive carefully. We're going to let you go. Yeah. There we go. No, don't be on the phone while you
drive it. We don't want you to be a hazard.
Alright, Grant says, hey, Gareth, where the actual fuck is Rich Mulholland? Did I miss an announcement or something? He's the only reason why I look forward to Monday mornings, over and above your show, obviously. Well, Grant, he's been traveling a lot. Is that right, Flax?
Yes, but he is back next week.
Okay, there we go. So, Grant, that's your question dealt with. And Jabulo says, guys, I have made the best switch from the other station to the mecca of everything, Touch Central. Isn't it lovely to be South African? What a time to be alive. Yeah, thank you, Jabulo. And Mark says the dark web is accessed via a Tor browser. Gavin says, I've been on the dark web. You need a Tor browser. You look up the Silk Road. You can buy anything on there, from drugs, weapons, fake passports, to assassins. Very scary stuff. I want some fake passports. Can I get one of those?
But what are you going to do
with them? I just want them, because you always see in the spy movies, they want a bunch of fake passports. Don't you want like a bag full of fake passports?
Sure, and then where are you going to leave this bag?
No, you don't leave it anywhere. You'll get arrested. Put it in a safe.
Yeah, you see, what would I want to buy from the dark web?
Fake passports, Mubs. You never know when you might need to skip the country, right?
This is true. I mean, you can't predict how much trouble you are going to get into in the future.
Especially not you.
Well.
Yeah, well. Well, exactly. All right. Let's talk about something that it seems everybody went to last night. The GQ Best Dressed Awards. Flax was there, and so was Katlego Maduba and Kat Molay. In fact, there were a bunch of our people there at the Best Dressed Awards. Let's find out how it looked and how it went. Flaxy, you can start us off. What were you wearing at the Best Dressed Awards?
So I was wearing a nice two-piece Markham suit.
That'll work.
No, I hate suiting up, eh?
Did you get compliments?
No.
No? Oh,
shit. I don't like suits. It doesn't tell my story. I like the board shorts and a sleeveless vest and a surfboard.
Okay, but Flex,
you can't wear that to the Best Dressed Award.
Yeah,
I know.
And why do you have to have one story? Why can't you have a different story on different days of the week?
No, some people just pull off a suit. Well, I'm just not one of them.
Yeah, look, a suit.
Did you and Kat see each other?
Yeah, we chilled a lot.
What did you think of the way he looked?
He looked good.
Oh, really?
He looked really good. Yes, with his girlfriend. They looked so. They were relationship goals.
What were you wearing? Because these things are pressure. You know, it was for the men, obviously, but girls also have to dress up for these events.
I was wearing like this navy blue. It was very revealing type of plunging neckline, halter neck at the back, jumpsuit, but it looked like a dress, you know. But yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. That sounds amazing.
No, I looked amazing.
Who won the award?
That's right, girl.
You know what I'm saying. I have to feel myself.
Claim
yes.
Your hotness.
I must claim it. If right. I don't, who's going to?
Absolutely. Good for you.
I don't know who won because I left.
Oh.
Oh, Flax, do you know who won?
I know Darren Thomas.
Who?
You know that guy from Virgin? What's his surname?
Oh, yeah. Darren.
Darren. So he won number four best dressed.
Wow.
And then some actor dude won the number one slot.
Oh, Vuyo Tabula.
Mm.
Gaddafi.
Huh.
From Generations.
Oh, my gosh. Is he the one with the torso and the six pack?
Yes, girl, yes.
I'm
with the muscles.
I'm pretty sure it's an 8-pack or even a 10-pack, actually.
Whatever pack number it is, it's him. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You get more than an 8-pack?
With him, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then he doesn't have to wear any clothes and he's the best dressed, right?
He should never wear clothes.
No, he should never wear clothes, but he had to for that occasion.
Okay.
And guess who I saw? Guess who I saw?
Who?
My husband. Oh. Dr. Smile. We had a moment.
You remember this?
I was at a birthday party on Saturday and Dr. Smile was there.
Oh, what did you say about me, Gareth?
Not a thing. I didn't talk about you at all.
So you didn't even like put in a word for me there to be like, yo, you know, there's a home girl, you know.
No, I just said some of the people at the office. I didn't want to sell you out in case, you know.
In case he thinks I'm too ratchet for him.
Right.
No, I'm not too ratchet. Like we had a moment, you know, and we took pictures together. You know, I just had to rub it in Rose's face last night.
Yes, I saw you doing
that. She still hasn't responded, but it's okay because I know it cut deep. Mm.
These girls are in a major competition for Dr. Smile.
Yeah.
Well, he knows me now, so it's not really a competition anymore because I clearly won.
While we're talking about girls in competition, can you explain to me why the hell you didn't want to have anything to do with our guest yesterday?
Sorry, who was your guest yesterday?
Tepi Vundla.
I'm sorry, who?
Oh, okay. Hey, Ke.
Sure. Have you two had issues? Is there something that happened in the past?
Yes. And I don't understand. Like, you know, now she's like, it was the first time we met. It's not the first time we met. We practically went to, like, in Lysoff, we went to Lysoff together. So okay. I don't understand. Now she's having the epiphany. She doesn't know me. We've met a couple of times.
Ooh.
Yeah, so. But she knows what she did. Now she's just acting like she doesn't know. She knows what she does. But one day, I'm just going to have to confront her and just let it all out.
Tell me. I mean, I appreciate, like, how honest you are about, like, not everybody has to get along.
Yeah, you know? You don't have to. Yeah,
that's cool. But is it worth having beef with, someone you hardly ever see?
It's not beef. I just don't talk to her. I don't find the need to talk to her.
Sure.
So I greet her. When I greet her, that's all I have to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so, you're honest about it. I appreciate that.
It's all I can do.
You don't have to like everyone, right?
No, I don't have to. They don't have to like me, and it's how life works.
Spot on.
Yeah.
All right, Kat. Thank you, honey.
Thanks, Gareth.
We'll see you at 9. There we go. Katlego Moaduba on at 9 with Aria Kelman on touchcentral.fm, right, Mubs?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, it sounds like these GQ awards were quite the place to be last night. Flax, any of your other celebrity friends you saw there?
Who else was there? I saw Alex Cage was there. He's a lovely guy.
Yep, he's on Highfelt, right?
Proverb, who's on tomorrow, was there?
Yes, Pro's coming in tomorrow, Mubs.
Yay, we love Proverb.
Who else was there?
Nick Hammond.
Kat knows way more celebrities than me.
Yeah, well, call Kat.
Kat,
help us. You were there as well. Come on. Tell us.
Lala Hiriyama was there.
Oh, was she
that
there?
Lala Hiriyama.
Sure, listen. Oh. Hashtag no homo, but she looked hot.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Boynton Lee was, of course, there. Sia Bailey. Deleuze was there. Mm-hmm. Who else? Lots of people. Teeth was there. His ex-girlfriend, Teppy, was there.
Uh-huh.
Everybody who's anybody was there.
I'm so glad I wasn't there.
It was so boring. Literally, it was a waste of my time.
Wow. What did you wear? Because you have to think about these things, right? I mean, you can't pitch up at an event like that without being dressed properly.
I just wore a black dress, simple black dress with black heels.
That's always a winner.
Mm.
You can never go wrong.
With black, ne?
No.
I never.
It's perfect. Anybody dressed like a little peacocky? Anybody look a bit stupid?
Lex Leo.
No. Dr. Lex Leo, he looked good. Like, he wears these, like, floral suits or whatever, but it works for him.
Careful, because Kat gets very... protective of him.
It wasn't floral. He wore a peacock suit. It legit had peacock eyes and peacock feathers all over it. But he pulled it off.
Well, he pulled it off. That's his thing.
They did something really cool there. They took macaroni and cheese, but then they fried it in little balls. So you had little mac and cheese balls.
Oh, wow.
That was like highlight of my night.
That's smart.
That's revolutionary.
That's always a pain what you offer guests at things like that, right?
Because you got to go with finger food.
Yeah.
But now they've taken actual real food and made it finger food, which is really cool.
Good move. There's nothing worse than those complicated goddamn snacks at these things. Your hands get all sticky.
And they call it pâtés, and it's like world's smallest food item.
Yeah. Canapés, right?
I know. And then it's like a chicken pâté. What is a chicken pate? It's like chicken that's overly processed and then it's been grinded even more than
Are you sure it's called that?
Hang on. What are canapés and how are they different?
Canapés are like hors d'oeuvres.
I was going to ask, how are they different to hors d'oeuvres?
Hors d'oeuvres?
What's hors d'oeuvres?
Hors d'oeuvres.
Oh.
Hors d'oeuvres, they're just, it's finger food. It's a starter. It's an appetizer.
So it's the same thing?
Yeah, it's more or less the same thing. As far as I know, I mean, maybe, you know, I'm hardly the guy who watches the Food Channel.
Hors d'oeuvres is just fancy starter. So, like a normal starter would be a salad, but then a hors d'oeuvre would be a tiny chicken Caesar salad with one piece of lettuce.
Yeah. Or some stupid thing that's in a glass bottle or something.
Yeah.
You know, they serve these things in the, like a jam jar now.
And it's so small, you got to eat it with a toothpick, not a fork.
Right. Or a spork.
Oh, yes. A fork-spoon combination.
A spork. What a horrible human invention. You know, the moment we came up with a spork, we should have known it was the end. Like, it's time to go. All right, we'll come back in a short while and speak to a young lady called Thembele Hlempofu, who is the Indoni Miss Cultural SA 2016. Find out all about what that is and all about how she came to grips with her own culture, what she knows about it. These things are very exciting. Because we've got such an interesting diversity of cultures in Southern Africa. And she is representative of the Swati culture. We'll find out all about what it means to be Swati and what it means in the 21st century, especially where some of these traditions are ignored and some of them are still carried over. You know, it's interesting stuff to talk about. CliffCentral.com.